This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
All right, football fans, the NFL draft is almost here, and the free Odyssey app brings you the latest coverage from the biggest sports radio stations across the country. Which players will help your team the most? Who will make a draft day trade? Will they be ready for week one? The local conversations about the team you love. All streaming free right here on the Odyssey app. A-U-D-A-C-Y. Download it today.
Oh, what a week 11 to get going today. Noon kickoff in the Mercedes-Benz Superdome. Not only do we have the Falcons coming in versus the Saints, but we've got a game today where it appears we're getting it's Taysom time for real. Sean Payton not making an official announcement, but reports are that it's going to be Taysom Hill getting the start at quarterback today. And Diana Rossini of ESPN tweeted on Friday as well that Jameis Winston not part of the offensive game plan meeting. It's Taysom time all the time.
Ooh. You know, I
can't wait.
It's must-watch TV. There's no question about that. I just think that, you know, I can't I'm not out there, so I don't see the reps that are taken. But from what I'm hearing, at least in the red zone part of it on Friday, correct?
Right. It was all Taysom
was all
in there
Taysom.
Getting the snaps.
And so why would they give him all those snaps if, in fact, he wasn't going to be the guy? Second part of it is if Sean is playing coy with this kind of thing, it's not like Atlanta doesn't know who Jameis Winston is. They've played against him for years.
Right.
So
Winston 4-5 record at Tampa against the Falcons.
Yeah. So, okay, there you go. So they know enough about him if, in fact, they decide to put him in there. But what this does lead me to believe is, look, he's been groomed for this. And I'm speaking of Taysom Hill at this point. He's been doing this now for years. We've been watching him and wondering, you know, is he going to be the heir apparent and all that kind of stuff. And it you know, it rears its ugly head from time to time. But at the same time, he's much better of a quarterback than he was a couple of years ago when I used to watch him. He was kind of a – man, he was – you talk about green and rough around the edges and you could tell he had great athletic ability, but as far as quarterback acuity, he needed some, he needed some brush up there. And there's no question that as you've watched him, mature in this kind of offense, you see the fact that he is now taking a lot of those things that he watches from Breeze and Pete Carmichael and the tutelage he's getting from there and Sean Payton. As far as being a quarterback in the NFL. Now, is that going to mean that he's not going to – is everything going to be RPO today? You know, I think there's got to be some – there's got to be some faction of that because
– it's who he is.
You know, I was teasing Bobby last week. I said, you know, the RPO, and, it's RPO. But when Taysom gets it, it's capital RPO because most of the time that's the prime one that he's doing. He's going to run. But at the same time – if they've been working on this, and look, they're not going to ask him to do Drew Brees things. They're just not. It's going to be the first guy's not open, take off, you know, type thing. I don't think he's going to be running around the pocket, you know, eyes down the field, trying to, like, you know, spy the open guy on the, you know, the third guy. But again, he's obviously the evolvement of his ability will be on form today. Well, you know, we'll be able to watch it, and we'll be able to see exactly how far he's come as far as being an actual quarterback. But, you know, you look at today's quarterbacks, you look at Lamar, and you look at the guy in Arizona, you know, Murray,
right.
And what they do, their guys are tremendous athletes. There's no question about it. Mahomes, same thing, tremendous athlete, no question about it. They throw the ball so well, and at the same time, I don't know if Taysom throws the ball as well as any of those three guys that I just mentioned. But I knew he's, I know he is tougher than all three of those guys put together. Okay. He's probably faster straight ahead than any of those guys, but is he as quick and as maneuverable? Nobody's as quick and maneuverable as Kyler Murray. I haven't seen anybody play like that. He's like a watching a video game.
But yeah, just jumps around on the screen.
It's unfair. It's he throws it better than I've ever seen anybody throw it on the run. And at the same time, when he takes off, there's guys that have him, and then he just turns to smoke. And you can see the frustration that builds up in him because they're like, yeah, I can't have that guy get out of here, you know. But it's going to be fun to watch. And I think that, look, this is going to be a running game. There's no question about it. We got to run the football. So I expect we see a lot of 41. There's no question about that. And I think we see a lot of Latavius Murray as well. So both those guys are going to get a full load. And then I think, you know, with the physicality that Taysom's going to bring to this, you know, it's kind of maybe harken back to when you remember when Cam Newton maybe was in his younger days and he would take off and run. And he was hard to stop. I mean, it really was. But then I kind of look at it, you know, Taysom and kind of at times, and I've watched him, and he almost looks like he's maybe a smaller version of a Tim Tebow.
Yeah.
Faster straight ahead than Tim Tebow. Not quite as bullish as Tim Tebow, but nevertheless, will run you flat over. Run a linebacker flat over. There's not any question about that. He is a dynamic, fast, strong, tough guy that loves to run. He loves the contact part of it. I hope that he starts to back off on that a little bit, the run part of it, just because I think that he's probably going to have to save himself a little bit from the wear and tear that's going to cause. I mean, taking that, you know, 10 or 12 times a game is a whole lot different than taking it 25 or 30 times a game, you know, because of the position he's in now.
Yeah, that was something I was worried during the week when you look at just the two quarterbacks that were on the roster with Drew Brees banged up. You had Jameis Winston along with Taysom Hill, and I was like, wait a minute, what if something happens to those two? Who's the emergency third quarterback? I start thinking a guy like of an Alvin Kamara, but the team has signed – Trevor Siemian to the roster.
Yep.
I just, hopefully, if that comes to that situation, you definitely know we're in trouble.
Well, I hope it doesn't come to that. and it wouldn't surprise me if they went to some sort of wild hog look or something like that with the
especially this week
with Kamara or something like that if something came in. You know, I don't know what the mesh points would be and how fluid those would be. I would say they wouldn't be very fluid, and the reads would be on the go type thing. But only good things happen usually when Alvin Kamara has the football in his hands. So just giving it to him and snapping it to him and saying, you know, run the daylight, it's not a bad thing. But it's certainly not going to be. It certainly wouldn't be a thing of beauty. Okay, but it's going to be fun to watch. There's no question about that. And I think that Taysom is. I'm sure he's probably puking on his shoes. If not, you know, he's really, really gassed up for this, this opportunity, because I think this is really going to put him into, if he goes out and does really, really well today, and doesn't turn the ball over, he's really going to set himself up well.
Does this surprise you at all, seeing that last week when Drew did go down, we saw Jameis Winston basically come into the game, get the bulk of the snaps at quarterback, but now Sean deciding this is going to be, well, maybe deciding from what the reports are saying, at least, that he's going to give Taysom this start under center, and basically it's his show to run. Is that almost like a loyalty thing because he's been in this system and he knows the offense?
I don't think so. I think what it is mostly is the fact that Taysom is so involved in other parts of the offense.
Yeah.
There's so many different packages they have for him where he's either split out or he's, in quarterback or whatever he's going to be doing. That I don't think Sean wanted to take that package away because he probably haven't practiced anything but those packages for him during the week. You know, there's a certain limited number of snaps you can take during the week, you know, before you run out of time in practice. You just don't have enough guys to, enough time to get enough snaps to get those reps in. So, yeah, they probably, you know, Drew had mostly all the reps, like he typically does, and then probably, you know, Taysom shared a couple of reps at quarterback, and Winston probably shared a few more at quarterback. And then when Drew went down with the ribs, that they said, hey, you know, let's don't take Taysom out of the, you know, we haven't practiced him well enough to be taken over at this spot.
And we still need him in these other areas.
And we still need him in these other areas. So let's not give the, you know, let's not completely throw all the packages out and not all of a sudden throw him into quarterback.
Now with this week though, the having that full week of prep, does that really change things now that you know you're the guy and you have these, I guess all those packages are installed for you at quarterback then?
Yeah.
It's what you're good at. You always hear Sean wanting to maximize what his players are good at. So now does having that altered of a plan make things, I guess, more easy for him to take over in that lead role?
Sure,
to Taysom Hill?
They know the things that Taysom does best. And they're not going to ask him to do things that, you know, Drew is so refined and such a light years ahead of younger quarterbacks in what they know and their knowledge and how they steer in the secondary with their eyes and their their shoulders and whatnot. And those are the finer points of quarterback play. And I don't think you're going to see Taysom Hill going out and then pump faking, you know, and trying to steer the safety, you know, look at the safety and get him to bite one way and then throw the other way. I don't see him doing that at this point. I think they know exactly what he can do, and they're not going to ask him to do any more.
We're getting you ready for Saints and Falcons kicking off in the Superdome at high noon here on WWL Saints Radio. I'm Steve Geller with Steve Court here on First Take. And give us a call on the whodatlending.com talk and text line. That's 504-260-1870. Want to hear from you, Who Dat Nation, and what you're feeling on this Sunday. Is it really going to be Taysom time all the time? Are we going to get a little bit of Jameis Winston into the mix? What do you think Taysom will do if he does get this starting nod? Finally, getting his opportunity to show what he can do, not just as a Swiss Army knife in this offense, but as a starting quarterback. Coming back right to you after this on WWL. Steve and Steve getting you going here on First Take for the Dirty Birds coming into the Superdome against the New Orleans Saints. And Steve, this is always a matchup that it doesn't, we always hear, throw the records out the window. But really, with this Falcons team, they're a lot better than the record indicates. They dropped their first four. And head coach gets fired, and then they win three of their next four, two straight, coming off a bye week. A lot of positives for them, a little swag, I guess you could say, for the Atlanta squad. And are you expecting another tight one here today against this team?
Yeah, I am. Look, this team can score points.
They can't stop them, but they can put them up.
They can score points, and we know – look, Matt Ryan is – it was just a few seasons ago where he was – you know, led the league. You know, this guy can flat light it up. He's got Ridley. He's got those three tight ends and Stocker and what's the other cat's name? I can't remember the other two tight ends. But they're good players. And a lot of times they'll have a couple of those guys on the field at the same time. And we all know about Julio Jones and what he does. So, look, Todd Gurley, he's still there. He's still able to do.
Been so, finding the end zone a lot for him.
He really has. And so, look, they're these guys are still so formidable on offense that for us to sort of think that we can go out there and because their record is not real good, that all of a sudden, hey, we can go out there and just roll over these guys. That's not going to be the case. I mean, these are pro football players that are look, every game to them, there's no pressure on them at this point. There's no pressure at all. I mean, this is when they can go out and play loose and just throw caution to the wind, just footless and fancy free. That's the best way to play anyway, is not really care about, you know, sort of what the outcome is. Just go play. Whatever happens, happens.
And nothing better to do than knock your division rival off a seven-game win streak.
And it's so fun because, look, they're 45 minutes away, you know, by a plane. It's not far. And, you know, I can remember times when we went up there, there was more fans that were Saints fans at Fulton County Stadium than there was Atlanta fans. And they had some good Atlanta teams at that point, but they never did. Atlanta's one of those places that, man, they better be good, and they'll fill up the stands if they're good. But if they're not good, It's kind of like L.A., but you better be really, really good. Otherwise, there's just a whole lot more stuff to do, and they'll find something else to do.
I was definitely amazed the 2 years that I got to go to the stadium, you know, being on the sidelines when I took over the sideline gig, and just the amount of Saints fans that were in the lower bowl area in the Falcons stadium. Tons of black and gold, and not really all you saw more red from the empty seats than the actual jerseys in the stands.
Yeah, and it's and you can't figure out why.
No, and I think that's another one of those negative things to me about the everyone's got those bunker bars in those new stadiums now.
Oh yeah,
and everyone's hanging out in the bunker bar, and they're really not in their seats. So
yeah, you might as well be watching it at a sports bar somewhere else or.
It's a little peculiar to me, for sure. I don't get it. I maybe the allure of being field level and close to the action, but then you can't see over the bench and the players.
Yeah, I never could. I never could understand that. I really have a hard time understanding why. You know, if you're going to go to the game, you need to feel the game experience. I mean, to be like in the fray, if you will. But if you're going to sort of
be seen,
yeah. And I used to see that at the basketball games.
Right.
I mean, I would watch the people in the basketball games, and I'm like, I'm watching the basketball game, and then at a timeout or whatever, and then even if it wasn't a timeout, if it was just a foul or something like that, I'd look in the stands, and almost every single person was looking at their phone. They weren't even looking at the floor.
Yeah.
I'm shocked. I'm like, you paid how much money for these tickets? Basketball tickets are expensive. I'm like, man, you paid – How many hundreds of dollars for those tickets? And you're looking at your phone. I'm like,
got to post it to the gram.
Yeah. Okay. I don't understand that, but it's retarded the way we look at our sports these days. It's absolutely handicapped them.
It's really amusing when you see during baseball season two people on their phones and so many almost, foul balls or bats getting tossed in the sands, incidents that people getting saved because they weren't paying attention and looking at their phone, but luckily someone else interfered and, they didn't get damaged by a foul ball to the face or a bat hitting them in the head.
Or a puck.
Or there you go, hockey as well, exactly.
Yeah, I used to watch these pucks flying to the stand. I'm thinking, ooh, that's going to hurt somebody because that one's not just flipping around. That one's like on a rope, and they just escape. Massive damage,
right?
but we sort of got out in the weeds with that. But look, getting back to Atlanta, their defense struggles. Okay, there's no question about that. But I can tell you that one of the guys that I guess Grady Jarrett to me is really sort of. I was talking to Mike about it. I made a comment to him, I guess last week about it that. Grady Jarrett is a guy that to me is he's not as good as Aaron Donald. Okay, there's not really hardly any defensive lineman that are as good as he is, but this guy's like right in that next threshold,
next tier, right?
He's in that next tier of guys because how active he is. I watch him on tape and his quickness and his hands, his pad level, all that stuff is so good, and he's relentless with his effort, and that makes up for a lot. But those things, and then a guy we had here, Tyler Davidson, who I used to watch, when he was playing here with us, and he's the three shade or the nose, either or, they're interchangeable. And look, that guy, he does nothing but good things, So those are the two guys on their defensive line that can really flat crush that pocket, and they're tough against the run. They're really good against the run. And they let their linebackers clean up the mess, but their defense has a hard time. This team is unusual. I'm speaking of the Falcons now, from the standpoint of they always seem to lose games at the very end.
Right.
They seem to go out and put up points and act like they're going to win, and then something happens.
Just choke the lead away.
And they just they can't do it. They can't close a game out. And it's got to be the most frustrating thing in the world because they know they have the talent to do it, and they just can't put it all together.
Now, we know that if Breeze was playing this game, he probably would have been able to pick apart this Falcons secondary. Taysom Hill, if he's the one getting the go under center, we haven't really seen him get that that chance to really thrive as a passer. So it's kind of a huge question mark of we don't know what to really expect. Is he going to thrive? Is he going to fail?
Well,
and it's one of those really wait and see kind of things.
You can rest assured if Taysom's out there and he is supposed to be the one that's playing, they're going to throw – defensive coordinator is going to throw some stuff at him that he is – they're going to try to confuse him for sure.
Okay.
I mean, I would.
Right.
You know, I think that's why we have to lean a lot on our run game. I really do. I think if we go out with we're going to be dedicated to running this ball 30, 32, 33 times, something like that. I think that only bodes well for us because I think if we try to put it all on Taysom, I don't think that's a good idea. And I think that I think the coaching staff is well aware of that.
The Oakwin Heart Time Rolex check is 8:34. We're getting you ready for noon kickoff in the Mercedes-Benz Superdome. 7-2 Saints getting ready to go for an eighth straight victory against those Dirty Birds. And a big question mark, I guess you could say, for the black and gold in this one. We were talking about the Falcons offense being so potent and potentially for the New Orleans being without corner Marshon Lattimore could be a big scare. He's questionable dealing with an abdominal issue. And during practice, you could tell he wasn't 100% full go. He looked a little awkward and tender during those cornerback drills we got to see during the media viewing of practice. And I'd imagine he's going to get shot up pretty good today, see if he can go in this one. But I just don't know how much that's going to affect him in coverage and being his ability to raise his arms even.
Well, look, I can – abdominal muscles are – that core stuff
right.
Is tricky. And it's I can remember playing with a pulled abdominal muscle before, and it was like I mean, it felt kind of like you were getting like a real sharp, fiery pain in your guts, you know. But it was superficial. It wasn't deep down inside your guts, but it would bother you from the standpoint of your stability. Your back muscles can't hold your whole body up. You know, a lot of that is abdominal muscles, and at the same time, it was probably less of a factor for me being on an offensive line than it is for somebody that has to twist his hips and run and then break, stop, that kind of stuff real fast and move around like a cat back there, which is what cornerbacks do. They move around like cats back there. You know, their change of direction is incredible. I'm sure that is going to affect him more than it would affect me, you know. I have a bigger abdominal muscle, much bigger abdominal muscle, but it's from the standpoint of athleticism. I think that really affects guys that are in those positions more than it would guys that are on the offensive line or defensive line.
If he can't go and it's Janoris Jenkins opposite of him, would you expect I guess PJ Williams to get the call as the other starting corner?
Probably.
I was thinking probably, I don't know who else they would put outside. Yeah.
I'm not sure who they have at this point.
Patrick Robinson would be more of a slot guy.
He's more of a slot. But
unless you put him outside
you only have a certain number of guys to play. So they'll put somebody in there that they'll just have to say, look, you got to suck it up this week if that's not your normal position. I mean, hey. We do it in the offensive line all the time.
Yeah, speaking of the offensive line, another, the guys always this time of year have something that they're dealing with, but for the most part, healthy enough to where the starting unit is going to be active and a go for the Saints. Having that continuity is definitely so important, but a guy I know everybody's a little bit frustrated with is the rookie Cesar Ruiz, and you think, to me, I wonder – is it because he's not in his natural center position that he might be struggling a little out the gate and not having that offseason? Everybody wants to blame the COVID, non-COVID offseason for a lack of development. But we're pretty good into the season now.
Look, I think if I've watched him, and really for the most part, he's done a real good job. He's done a real good job at coming in at right guard and not playing his normal center position. And look – it's different. okay? I came in as a guard, and they switched me to center, and then I had to go back to guard. And look, it's just it's different. The footwork's different. The balance is different. Your stance is different. The whole thing is different. but my point is, I don't think that he is struggling from the standpoint of technique issues. I think that he is learning how to play the game. There's no question about that. And I think it's he's a smarter than average offensive lineman. So I can watch him, and I know that he is catching on pretty quick. I don't think he's I think the speed of the game is not overwhelming him anymore. Look, he had a couple bad plays, okay, and one of his plays allowed Drew to get crunched, okay, but look, that happens, okay. Those guys get paid over there on the other side. They're good, okay, and he overset to the outside, and you know, hey, the guy got a good shoulder on him and kind of a short corner and turned him into a swinging gate at that point. But that happens from time to time. It happens to everybody. So that was good for that guy, you know, that did that. But at the same time, I don't think it's – Ruiz is not something you'd say, oh, no, I can't believe he's in there and they're playing him again. No, he's doing really, really well.
Well, he I know, took a lot of heat from fans because of giving up that hit. But like you said, this is the NFL. The other team has pros on the other side as well. And it just, I guess, was a huge question mark – going forward, you still going to put him in that spot, or do you put maybe more of a Nick Easton in or someone else in that role? Do you just keep letting the rookie learn?
Yeah, they've been trading those guys off.
A pretty good rotation,
yeah,
right?
They've got a fairly good rotation in there, and they let him kind of get his bearings back after that hit, and they put Easton in there. And then, you know, I expect Ruiz to be back there. Hey, that's the thing. You don't want a young guy, especially, to lose his confidence and think, oh, man, I can't believe I got our Hall of Fame quarterback smashed.
And now not in the lineup
either,
right?
Not in the lineup anymore. So I don't think that's the case at all. I think they just said, hey, look, that's one of those correctable mistakes. Look at it on film. Don't jump at the guy. You know, I mean, he tried to quick set him, it looked like to me. And when he did, he missed. And that's, hey, that happens.
We want to hear from you on the whodatlending.com talk and text line, 504-260-1870. Coming back with more First Take on your Saints Sunday right after this. Steve and Steve back at it. We want to hear from you on the whodatlending.com text and call line, 504-260-1870. And Steve, sadly, we will not be hearing from our good friend Tony down under in Australia. Got word that he is actually in the hospital, blew out his knee and is having some emergency surgery done, but is listening on the WWL app. So shout out to you, Tony. He says the Falcaints are going down tonight. Today. No question about that.
I wish I could ask Tony what he was doing that he blew his knee out. Well, you're like making a hard cut or something, or taking a kickoff back, or you know what?
You gotta avoid those dingoes out there.
Yeah, that's right. Kangaroo kick you, something. Oh boy.
Well, hopefully the Saints are kicking a lot better than Tony right now. We know that they're pretty much healthy, obviously, except for the quarterback position. It's we know that Drew Brees is out. He's been on IR now with the shoulder and the ribs.
Now, wait, what did we hear? Possibly 11 rib fractures?
Ed Werder from ESPN, who's very close with Drew Brees, so anything time he puts something out, you know it's directly coming from Drew.
Yeah, and he only have like 24.
He said that 3 ribs on the right side were damaged in the previous game against the Tampa Bay Buccaneers, and now it looks like 8 ribs on the left side were also damaged against the 49ers. So that's 11 ribs for Drew. And to me, I thought that was absurd that you're not able to see this after getting checked out by doctors and then a second opinion.
Yeah,
but yeah,
like
you
I
explained
told
it to
you,
me.
Yeah, like I told you, not the chronic breaks, the ones that were a week old or 10 days old or something, the body's already starting to begin to lay down bone. So the calcifications show up much clearer on the X-ray than do the new ones. So it's a lot easier to see. But man, the fact that now they've found that there's more in there, boy, I mean he got smashed.
Yeah,
and I mean he got smashed a week before too. I mean that boy, he must have been in some kind of pain and didn't realize why he was in. He thought maybe he had some bruised ribs or something maybe after Tampa, and then this. One that happened this last week kind of was the coup de grace.
And that, with Drew being put on injured reserve, to me, you hear this injury, 11 ribs, a punctured lung, and I'm like, oh my God, are we going to even get to see Drew for the playoffs? So is his career over? Is he going to retire after this?
Right.
But they're saying now that he is expecting to try and come back for that game against the Philadelphia Eagles, which this week we're hosting the Atlanta Falcons. Then the Saints go on the road for the next three following that, which is at Denver, at the Falcons, and that at Philly. He'd be able to eligible to come off the injured reserve and play against them. But, man, that seems really quick to me.
You know, look, I'll tell you this. I know Drew a little bit. I don't know him. I don't know him super well. But I know him well enough to know that he doesn't want to go out this way.
Right.
There's no way. I mean, I think that's probably motivation in and of itself, that he's going to say, no, I need to make sure that I get back and finish out this season, whatever left of the season there is left, you know, in good fashion. I just don't see ribs, as painful as they are, holding him back from coming back. I just think that once he's cleared and they're saying, hey, you know, you don't have anything rough in there that's going to –
he's like, I can go. I'm fine.
Your lungs, yeah. I think they're going to say, let's flak jacket you up and let's go. I think he's going to be the one that pushes that envelope on that.
Well, now we're finding out more and more about this injury that happened with Tampa Bay, in, you know, coinciding with the what happened with the 49ers. He is one tough son of a gun, obviously, to be one playing through that injury in the San Francisco game and then sticking around on the sidelines. Even,
you know,
I could sort of
see in his eyes, going back to last week after he
the pain
that he had kind of told Sean. I can, because Sean was kind of, I couldn't tell exactly what he was saying because he had his face mask on, but he was like, can you go? I think it was like, are you good enough to go? And I think Drew basically said no. So for him to say no,
you
I'm not going to be effective,
right.
Okay. That tells me that he was having a hard time moving or a hard time breathing or both, you know. And I could see in his eyes that he wasn't feeling chipper.
He definitely looked a little hunched over and obviously, yeah, in pain.
Yeah, because I think that what it does, it spasms all that stuff up, you know. I've had a tear in those intercostal muscles before, and I've had broken ribs before too. And there ain't anything you can do for them anyway. There's nothing you can
just
do.
Just rest.
Yeah. You just hope that, you know, you heal quick. That's about it, you know. Look, you can take some of the pain away by, you know, icing them and, you know, all that kind of stuff, trying to move some fluid around in there and whatnot. But for the most part, it is what it is.
1 hour down, leading you up to the Bud Light Countdown to kickoff with Mike Dettillier filling in for Christian Garrick and the Cajun Cannon Bobby Hebert. Speaking of Dettillier, we're going to speak with him next hour coming up. Wrapping things up on First Take, getting you ready for Saints versus Falcons here on WWL Saints Radio. Steve on First Take, getting ready for the next hour, leading you up then to the Bud Light Countdown to kickoff with the Cajun Cannon Bobby Hebert. And Mike Dettillier filling in for Christian Garrick, and that'll be game time in the Superdome, coming from the Saints broadcast booth of Zach Strief and Deuce McAllister with the call. Be sure to turn down the sound on your TV and turn up WWL Saints Radio. And Steve, I have to wish a very happy birthday to my lovely wife, Jessica Geller. She is home being a hoot-out with mom, you know, mom today.
Yeah.
And looking forward to this Taysom Hill action. Big fan. I know she's got her number 7 on today, rooting on.
Well, happy birthday. Also have to wish a happy birthday to my son, Shane.
Oh, nice.
He would have been 33 today, so happy birthday, Shane.
Happy birthday to Shane. Happy birthday, Jessica. We're coming back with more First Take action here on WWL. Want to hear from you on the whodatlending.com talk and text line, 504-260-1870. What you got, folks? Do you think Taysom Hill is going to be the guy? Will we see some Jameis Winston, or is it really just going to be Taysom's time to shine the whole time? I know I can't wait to see it. Been thinking about
either.
It the whole night going into today.
Exactly. Hang on, Sam. We're coming to you.
We're coming to you, too, Sam. Well, we want to talk about the Saints O-line. We got an expert here about that on First Take. Coming up next with more, and also Mike Dettillier at 9:20 with Mike's notebook for the latest on all the prospects that he got up to this game on WWL.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
What up, y'all? It's your boy Danny Green, 3-time NBA champ. You either rooted for me or rooted against me. Join myself and my co-host Harrison Sanford on the Inside the Green Room podcast.
It's a podcast that brings you never-before-told tales from the locker room to candid interviews with basketball legends to breakdowns of what's happening in the NBA right now. Whether you're a diehard fan or casual about your hoops, this podcast brings you the game like never before.
Follow Inside the Green Room on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.